Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I like the practice squad because I like giving opportunities for guys to actually be around an NFL team and practice.
I do too.
Rather than sit at home and wait for a workout on your own and wait for a call.
But you're not getting better doing
this. This is like way more productive for these players too. And I'm all for more jobs.
Yeah,
it's not my money. It's all
right.
So the practice squads are big. It gives you a chance for these guys to actually be out there and continue to do what they wanted. There's no minor leagues. It's this or nothing. So I'd rather they have more opportunities to be able to do that.
And that's why you kind of hope for the USFL and XFL to do have some sort of staying power, because it does give guys like this the opportunity. I always do feel bad for these guys who are trying to make a roster and then they get cut in August. And if they don't latch on to, back in the day, the 8-man practice squads, what are you doing? Like, I worry about those guys because they've been stars and athletes their whole lives, and now they're told they're not good anymore. What are they
going to
do?
You envision them going to the lonely going to the gym.
Yeah, like sad and playing Nintendo and eating Doritos.
And hopefully somebody calls you.
Yeah. Ooh, oh, God, that's not fun.
That's not fun at all. All right, time for a preseason edition, I guess, of views from the sidelines. I did share a couple of them already on the show today. Justin Reed sneaking in and the extra point I thought was just masterfully done. The specialists are warming up on the sidelines, and I look over my shoulder and Justin Reed's standing behind me, and he goes and he takes one practice kick. And I think he's just messing around. Next thing I know, he's in to do the extra point. Oh, that was fantastically done.
Mm-hmm.
As you heard from Justin Reed a little bit earlier in the show, and our conversation I had with him during the game on Saturday, it was planned. He thought if everything was going well, he was going to get a shot to kick the extra point, and did.
Is this the last time he gets the opportunity to do that? Is this one of those, hey, we'll give you the opportunity now, don't ask again?
Yeah, I would think.
But it's good to have him as an insurance policy.
Now he's an emergency kicker. If you run into it, you got to plan for everything, right? Coaches, teams plan for all kinds of scenarios. Well, there's a very, very emergency scenario that you can go with.
Yeah, somebody from the text line points out, are we sure that Butker's safe?
Yes, okay. Yes, we're sure Butker's safe. We're sure, absolutely sure. There was a funny moment in the second quarter. I don't know if TV caught it at all. Bouchel, the third quarterback, Shane Bouchel, is kind of scrambling, and he's rolling to his left. Away from the play, right-handed, rolling to his left, and does a Mahomes. At least he attempts to do one. And he throws back the other way while running to his left. And it's nearly picked off. Okay? Like one of those, no. You can't do that. Mahomes can do that. He's the only one that can do that. So he rolls to his left and throws it. And he's running back towards the sidelines, and I'm like, I got to see this. And Andy Reid doesn't say anything to him, but he's doing this.
He's shaking his head like a disappointed father.
Like, don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
It was great because I was like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Don't, nice throw. Don't ever throw it again.
Yeah.
Only Mahomes does that stuff. You can't roll left, throw back right. You can't.
See,
you don't have the arm strength to do it. Very few people do. One of them being Patrick Mahomes. He's the only one that has the green light to do that. Sorry, I know you're running the same offense. Don't ever do that again.
Yeah, that's the problem with playing with Patrick Mahomes. You see him do things, and you're like, well, if he's doing it, I guess I've got to try to do this right now. Now, there are some things you shouldn't try.
So I did interview Mahomes during the game in the third quarter. We'll hear that again coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. It's no joke. He is engaged the entire game. he is right by Andy Reid the entire game, and he's paying attention the entire game. During the interview, he shakes hands with me, makes eye contact, and then the rest of the time he's watching the game. He's talking to me, but he's doing this.
They showed him on TV when Trent Green was interviewing him on TV. It was like Mahomes was kind of distracted.
He was multitasking when he was with me. He was clearly watching the game. And also, I was going to get him, and they're like, nope, the change of possession. He wants to watch the offense. He'll come back when the defense is on the field. He's engaged in the offense the entire time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be doing that.
No, God, no.
He's paying attention to everything's going on. Doesn't want to miss what's happening offensively. He's going to be engaged in
that. You want him, pulling a Ken Flagel on the sidelines and yawning in the middle of the game.
No. And then, totally geeky moment, but again, cool. Cool moment. Special teams is on for a play. I think it was like punt coverage or something. And guy's coming off the field, and I look, and it's former Iowa State linebacker Mike Rose. Most people don't know who, never heard of him. Battling for an end of the roster spot, probably practice squad spot.
What was his name?
Mike Rose.
Heard of him.
Was a tackle machine at Iowa State, linebacker. He's coming off the field. Willie Gay is the first guy to him, and then Michael Burton is the second guy to him, and they're helping point out something he didn't do correctly on special teams in the middle of the, I think it was late second quarter. And I thought, they don't have to do that.
Not for that guy.
And they were literally like, Willie Gay's engaged the whole time too. Like, he's watching special teams. They go, no, you need to square up your shoulders. And they're like demonstrating with him how to properly use technique on a punt coverage team. And I thought, that's exactly what you want. That's exactly what you want to have happen.
Your players
are engaged to help coach others during a preseason game. Here's the right way to do this. We're going to help you.
That's awesome. A microcosm of why this is a successful organization right now, because everybody's buying in at every level and trying to help everybody else and make everybody. Mike Rose, you said, was this gentleman's name. Never heard of the guy. And Willie Gay and Michael Burton, it's late in the game. They should probably have their pads off and, getting showered so you can get to the airport and get out of there. And they're still fully engaged in it. Everybody is constantly trying to make everybody better. And one of those instances has really been at camp with our guy Frank Clark up there showing George Karloftis after practice the way. And I know there's been some snarky text about, why do you want Frank? I want him. No, you want your veteran players to take ownership and leadership with the younger players out there to help them along and kind of show them a way, just like Alex Smith did with Patrick Mahomes. It's very rare for professional athletes to help guys who are trying to take their job, because what position does Mike Rose play?
Linebacker.
Yeah. And he's a young guy, probably makes no money. There's probably some middle of the road 5-6-7 year veteran linebacker on the roster that truly is competing with this guy right now. And Mike Rose may get the nod because he doesn't make any money over the 5th year, 6th year, 7th year linebacker who's going to age out because he's making too much money compared to what this gentleman's going to make. And so, when you have players that are truly taking ownership in the team and helping everybody out at every level, that's a good thing. And that's why this team is better than everybody else.
So just a couple small moments from the Chiefs sidelines the other day.
Yeah.
I love to see that when. I love to see when the other players are engaged.
I do too. I think it's cool. I do.
Because they don't have to be.
Not at all. Most of them aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at how many other teams have we heard players go, it's not my job to help him out. If they want to watch and follow, that's one thing. But I'm not going to go out of my way to do it. These guys on this team are going out of their way because they know if everybody raises their level of play, good things are going to happen with this team.
We saw a good first drive out of the offense. They spread the ball around. They got it in the end zone. I had a chance to chat with Mecole Hardman during the third quarter of Saturday's contest about that good first outing.
It felt good to go against somebody else besides your teammates. So definitely good to get out here, man, just, get a feel back of things and just get primed up for the regular season.
You guys couldn't have asked much more from that first drive, could you?
Oh, man, anytime you go down to score is a great job. We still got some improving to do, some things we got to get better at, but overall it was good to get in the end zone and, put some points on the board.
You sound very confident this year, kind of relaxed. Is it just kind of sunk in for you a little bit? Seems like it's going a little bit slower and you got it now?
Yeah, it's definitely slowed down, man, and just, being in the league 4 years now, I guess you just start learning more how to you know, prepare better, how to be a better pro. So it all coming easy to me now, slowing down. So I'm just happy to got you know, get this this energy back from my last season. So, but it feels good to be that vet and just stepping up.
How would you describe this offense that you've seen and worked under
explosive.
So far?
I think we, you know, we're explosive. We really can't key in on us no more. I think we got a lot of guys that can make plays with the ball. So I'm loving it so far.
Are people underestimating this team so far?
I think so.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
I think so. Like, well, you hear it, but I mean, obviously they know what we can do and what we can do as a unit. So but it'd be weird to hear it, but they definitely doubt us a little bit, though.
Does that fuel the fire a little bit, too, from everybody?
Yeah, anytime you get any doubt, you know, it fuels you. So definitely motivate us to be good. But like I said, we got playmakers on this offense. We definitely can go.
We can go. And that first sequence, Burton, Hardman, CEH, Burton, CEH, Kelsey, MVS, Pacheco, MVS, Pacheco, Bell.
Who would have thought Burton would have had a couple of targets? I love the first play of the game, right? I thought that was cool. I
well, they
the
couldn't throw the 75-yard touchdown pass.
You got to dump it off to the fullback.
Fullback pass.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite what we drew up.
That's all right, though. I still like that play. It's a tough one to stop. And quite honestly, I don't know that there's anybody I'm rooting more for this year than Mecole Hardman. I hope he goes out there and just silences everybody, man, and shows everybody that he can play in this league, because there are a lot of people, especially here in town, that are doubting whether or not Mecole Hardman can play at this level. And people still want to say, well, they took him instead of, you know, Metcalf and all that kind of stuff. I'm rooting for Mecole Hardman as an individual player more so than anybody else probably on this roster this year.
Uh-oh, Fesco says there's another Mondi out there.
God.
We'll get to that next.
Fesco in the morning, where Kling has no time for your BS.
How many meetings do you have to go to as the athletic director at Nebraska before you land on the one that deals with helium quantities on campus?
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We'll chat with Josh Werner, our Royals insider, coming up in about 7 minutes. About the weekend barometer, but also let's discuss a little Matheny and Cal Eldred. and what the future has in store. Hmm,
so that was an interesting one. You know, each Sunday I send Vern an email. Hey, let us know what you want to hit on Monday morning with us, right? We kind of, you know, for the betterment of the listener, we try to prep our guests and have an idea of where we're going with most of our guests so they're not surprised by anything, right? And so we kind of talk it out beforehand, especially with our insiders like Vern and Pete Sweeney and guys like that. They're there in the trenches
what
every
you
single
go
day.
Over.
And, and the first thing Vern sent was, I want to talk about the future of Matheny and Eldred. I'm like, oh, okay, because I know there's been some...
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, there's been some fans that have been kind of like worried, like, okay, the pitching's doing well. Does that mean we have to keep Cal Eldred? I'd hire Roger Clemens as the pitching coach after watching him last night on the Alex Rodriguez broadcast of
oh, my God, Roger Clemens!
Tremendous.
He's in the Royals dugout.
Tremendous. I don't know that I've ever seen a gentleman explain pitching.
He's walking to the mound.
He was great, Josh. He was fantastic last night explaining pitching and some of the nuances. And, you know, they're trying to work on, in analytics, and Roger Clemens is like, just move your foot a half an inch back and you're just fine. And A-Rod's like, why would I trust a 28-year-old with an iPad over somebody who's played the game? And, like, I thought Roger Clemens was tremendous on TV last night explaining the nuances of pitching. And I'm like, you know what? The Royals need a new pitching coach. They ought to hire Roger Clemens to be their pitching coach. I think he'd be a great teacher based on the 10 minutes that I saw on TV. If he could relate to me, think about how he could relate to big league pitchers. He was great.
Roger Clemens is in George's box, and Roger Clemens is coming back. Oh, my goodness gracious. Of all the dramatic things, I've ever seen, Roger Clemens standing right in George Steinbrenner's box announcing he is back. Roger Clemens is a New York Yankee.
Well, I think he should be a Kansas City Royal pitching coach.
Like, they surprise him. It's the first game, and Roger Clemens is the pitching coach, and Fizz says, oh, my God. Yeah.
Roger Clemens is in the Royals dugout. He's in George Brett's box now.
Yeah, that's right.
And Denny would go, and gone, yes, Cal Eldred.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Mm. We'll talk to Vern about that coming up in about 5 minutes now.
Yeah. I'm being serious. Clemens was bring him on.
I don't doubt he was fantastic, and he knows pitching or whatever. If I'm
he
Roger
needs
Clemens,
to start his rehab career, though, Josh.
The last thing I'd want to do is 162.
But you know what?
He didn't do 162 when he was playing at the end.
But all these guys who got into a little trouble to have to do a rehab routine, right?
He didn't go on the road at the end of his career. I wouldn't go on the road now.
A-Rod's sitting around talking.
I'm available for spring training. I'm available for in-season consulting. Come to my place.
Yeah, I mean, come to my living room where I have a pitching mound set up.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Like, just I was just like, engaged. Like, I shouldn't be this engaged by Roger Clemens going through the nuances of pitching, but I was last night. I mean, he was tremendous at some of the stuff that he was talking about. So, yeah, I would absolutely hire him. They're going to need a new pitching coach after this season. I would absolutely talk to Roger Clemens about doing it. Beltran's doing games. Like, everybody who was involved in the cheating steroid era that has been accused of one or the other has started their kind of their rehab career, right, doing other things. Get Roger Clemens out there as a pitching coach. I think he'd be wonderful.
There's a you think there's a new Mondi in town?
Well, Fernando Tatis. He's not new, but he's out west. The Mondi of the west.
Mondi of the west.
Yeah, you ever try to rely on somebody that's unreliable like Mondi and Fernando Tatis Jr.? I mean, there's nothing worse in sports than having one of these players on your roster that you think is going to be very, very good and help you win games and is never available for you.
And then what's worse is they paid him.
And then they paid Fernando Tatis a lot of freaking money. Yep. Not only has he been hurt and missed all season, now he's going to miss the rest of the season because he was popped. What did they blame it on? Ringworm cream. This was the one that was the ringworm cream, Josh, that they blamed it on with Fernando Tatis Jr. Mondi was popped with cold medicine, they said.
Well, if you had the ringworm and you use it, wouldn't think, does this have any banned substances? But
Because it wasn't ringworm cream. Come on now.
You didn't have ringworm?
I've had ringworm. I had it in high school. I used a cream on it.
You check with the trainer to make sure you were putting in your body?
That was the 90s. They didn't care back then, and especially for me, they didn't care. But you rub some cream on it, and it moves on. You know, they're using this one as the excuse now. But I mean, the Padres relying on Fernando Tatis Jr. now to be a big part of what they're trying to do is like the Royals trying to rely on Mondi. You just can't do it. Fernando Tatis Jr. and Mondi should be put in a category of, if they are here and they are healthy and they are available, then maybe I'll think about using them late in a game. That's kind of where those two guys have gotten to me right now, because you look at it and the potential. I mean, the potential of Fernando Tatis Jr. and Mondi is off the charts, but neither of these guys is available to go out there and be there for his team. And so if you're the Padres, you're pushing forward for the postseason right now. Obviously, you can't rely on this guy anymore. I wouldn't rely on him beginning next year. And if you're the Royals, how do you even rely on Mondi doing anything for you next year? You can't. I mean, if you go into spring training thinking Mondi's going to be a big part of what you're trying to do, you're already failing. That's a major fail, in my opinion.
Weren't there rumblings on the Soto trade that Tatis could be involved?
Yeah, there were.
You kind of wonder.
Yeah.
You kind of I mean, obviously, might have been voided.
Yeah.
Had they sent him there and then he got popped. But
right.
You wonder if they weren't. Like, okay, enough's enough. We can't, they've fallen in the camp. We can't count on you.
Right.
We got to move it on.
Yeah. You got to move it on. But, you know, those two guys, man, like if Tatis Jr. and Mondi were healthy, what could have been for both of those guys? Now, neither of their careers is done yet, but I'm done with Mondi. I don't care what happens to that guy. He can go play for the Mets and hit 290 and slug 30 homers. I won't care. Fernando Tatis Jr., I'm sure a lot of Padre fans kind of feel that same way. Oh, my God, another time we were relying on this guy. How many times can you rely on the same person, not get any kind of production where you just finally walk away, right? But baseball is this FOMO, man. Everybody's afraid we're going to miss something. Who cares? Move on.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I feel like with Tatis, I feel like there's a little more of the known to me that I would be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're right. How many times am I going to get fooled by this and you not be able to participate when I need you?
Yeah. How many times do you get fooled, right? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, oh, my God.
What do you have? You had 84 games. I did pay him so early, though. Man. 84 games, 59 games, 130 games.
Say that again.
84 games in 19,
uh-huh.
59 in 20.
Uh-huh. That was all of them.
That was all of them. I'm sorry.
That's about all he can
I've
play.
I've already forgotten that 2020 was a 60-game season.
Yeah.
My bad. And then 130 last year.
Yeah.
So they paid him early, though.
They did. Wow. They did, and now nothing this year.
It's only three. It's three seasons that aren't full.
You know, people say all the time, what if the Royals offer Bobby Witt, you know, a 10-year contract, would he take it right now? I don't know that I'd offer anybody any kind of contract, because then you get into a situation like this. You know, you paid the guy, and then what have you gotten out of
nothing.
Him, you know?
Nothing. Our Royals insider Josh Vernier joins us, as he does each and every Monday at 8:30, fresh off the three-game set with the Dodgers. And I felt like that going in, this was, you know, if you wanted a barometer series, this is pretty good one. You know, the best team in baseball coming in. And Royals took the finale, pitched well in the first game, got blasted in the second game, win the third game. And I guess you're not going to be overconfident coming out of it. They got a bunch of work to do.
Yeah, the thing that had me excited going into the series, and really what I was locked in on throughout the three games against the Dodgers, was the quote from Vinny Pasquantino, what he had to say to the media following the finale against the White Sox on Thursday, when he said, you know, obviously we have one of the best teams in baseball coming to town, but we're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to be scared by the Dodgers. I'm not going to guarantee a win, but I will guarantee that we give them tough games. I will guarantee that we battle for three games this weekend and see what happens. Now, it's certainly not bulletin board material, but you guys have been around baseball long enough. Vinny Pasquantino's been a big leaguer for a month and a half. I've never heard a big leaguer with 35 games under his belt even use the word guarantee. Speak that word guarantee about anything when it comes to the game on the field into a microphone. So if he's willing to say something like that, that means these are the type of conversations that he and Bobby and MJ and Prado and the rest of these rookie sluggers, these are the conversations they're having while they're playing video games, while they're on the plane to Minneapolis, on the bus to the airport. For him to feel confident enough, and he's not an arrogant young man to where he just starts bloviating and can't stop himself. He likes to talk, but he's not arrogant. To me, he is the mouthpiece of these rookies, because for as terrific as MJ and Bobby and the rest are, none of them are as comfortable in front of a microphone as Vinny Pasquantino. For him to use that kind of language when talking about the Dodgers, his teammates backed it up. You guys watched it. They didn't look intimidated when they were down 7 runs heading to the bottom of the second inning on Saturday. And I'm not trying to throw him a parade for not quitting, but I've seen plenty of 22, 23, 24-year-olds go up there first pitch hacking. It's 100 degrees out here. Let's get ready for the finale. They continue to battle. So that, along with Singer and Lynch, of course, were my big takeaways from an entertaining weekend at the K.
They were really good, Singer and Lynch, you talk about. My big takeaway was, okay, so you got your teeth kicked in score-wise in two of the three games against the Dodgers. You look at the big picture, the 30,000-foot view, Vern, and I'm like, I'm okay with that, because what it shows to me is that you took 3 or 4 from the White Sox, 3 or 4 from the Red Sox. You can compete against kind of your peer teams now with these young kids. It shows to me that ownership needs to say, all right, we got the young kids. Now it's up to us to supplement these young kids and give the front office the availability to supplement these kids with a star pitcher and a bat next year.
Yeah, a few bullpen arms as well.
Sure.
No argument to me that comes down, because the offense has, and maybe this is a mistake, but to me the offense has shown enough that, yeah, I think that core, that 1-2-3-4 in the lineup of MJ, Bobby, Salvi, Vinny, that's a strong enough core that, as you said, we can start supplementing pieces around them. We can start building a championship lineup. The rotation and really the off-season period, to me, comes down to Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich. We've talked about it in the past. If they finish strong, I don't know what else Dayton, JJ, John Sherman, and the rest of the ownership group would be waiting for. You got money right coming off the books. Everything's pointing to this being a entertaining offseason, an action-packed offseason, especially if Bubich and Lynch show you that, man, you got 60% of your 2026 rotation in-house right now. Yeah, go out there and add those finishing pieces, and let's go for it next year.
That's kind of where I am. Like, I look at it like, all right, these young kids are playing well right now. And I'm not saying if you're Dayton and JJ in the front office, you sit back, light a cigarette, put your feet up, and, you know, take a nap. But right, I feel like they've done what they've needed to do from a young talent standpoint to set this organization up. Now it's just looking upstairs to the owner and saying, can you give us a couple of bucks to go out and make this team better and give us the finishing touches to put a winner on the field?
Yeah, it's been fun to obviously watch this product, but also the realization and the acknowledgement from so many Royals fans and also in the media, where Cal Eldred, Mike Matheny, JJ Piccolo, Dayton Moore, those four were the names in the crosshairs for so many Royals fans for a majority of the first 2.5 months. But now you look back in that 2017 draft class of Melendez and Prado, 2018 with Singer, Heasley, Isbell, Lynch, and Bubich, 2019 with Massey, Pasquantino, and Bobby Witt Jr. The guys that this city's fallen in love with are all the byproduct of the scouting of Lonnie Goldberg in the front office of Dayton Moore and J.J. Piccolo. Those pitchers, we can get to Cal Eldred and Mike Matheny in the future of those two, but I told you guys last week, I had people calling up apologizing to Cal Eldred. I don't think I've ever had, at least not since Haas and them left, I haven't had a phone call on the post-game show apologizing to anyone in about 5 years. And Dayton's getting apologies. Cal Eldred's getting apologies. So maybe it's because Chiefs football is back, but I think it has something to do with the energy and the passion you're seeing out there on the diamond.
So what about the future of Matheny and Eldred?
Well, again, I think that you got to begin with Bubich and Lynch. Now, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, because as we've all learned, things change quickly in this game. But if Bubich and Lynch finish strong, the case that Cal Eldred and Mike Matheny will be able to present to Dayton, to John Sherman, it's not only a case to return in 2023. If Lynch and Bubich finish strong, if the clubhouse reiterates their support, you know, if Bobby and MJ continue to show their support for Mike Matheny, I think these guys get extended in the offseason. I can't imagine going into 2023 with a lame duck manager in his final year. If you like the direction of this organization, I think those young pitchers and young hitters are about to get Mike Matheny and Cal Eldred an extension in Kansas City. I'm listening to Dayton Moore yesterday laud Cal Eldred for not trying to win the PR battle earlier in the season when everyone was taking their shots at the pitching coach. All he did was stay positive with the young arms. I had a great talk with Chris Bubich and Brad Keller about the patience and the advice that Cal Eldred has given him. His experience. It doesn't matter what these guys go through when they throw it to Cal Eldred. He always has a story, has an experience where he himself found either himself or a teammate in a similar situation. And when I brought up Cal Eldred to Mike Matheny, you could see him try and compose himself and not explode on the people on Twitter and certain media members that have taken shots at Cal. But what Mike Matheny ended up zeroing in on when describing the patience shown by Cal Eldred this season, he goes back to outside influences. Now, is he talking about Singer? Is he talking about Bubich? Is he talking about Daniel Lynch? Whichever young starter he's alluding to, outside influences, doing what they can to offer shortcuts. Guys from college, old high school coaches, guys you work with in the off season, almost stunting the growth of these young arms early on in the season when you guys can understand better than I can as parents. Those building blocks, those steps that need to be taken, steps that only can be accomplished through experience. Mm-hmm. Some of those outside influences were trying to offer shortcuts, enticing shortcuts, not cheating, but acting as if the Royals were stunting their growth. And here I have the answer to unlock your success at the big league level. Shortcuts don't work. It comes back to experience, going through it, and you can't rush that. Scott Barlow talked to me about it yesterday, saying, man, when you first get here, whether you're a starter or a reliever, you listen to Wade Davis and Greg Holland talk about relief pitching, and it sounds like a foreign language. You don't even understand where they're at, the way that they view the game. Matheny and Eldred have spoken about Greinke and Keller, the way that they speak about the game. It's a different language compared to Singer, to Lynch and Bubich. So the strides that they've taken this season are a direct reflection of the patience shown by Cal Eldred, the tutelage of Matheny and Cal Eldred, and finally a commitment from these young arms to go, okay, I'm all in on what you're saying. What do you want me to do when I go down to the minor leagues? Okay, I'll do it. I'll take it. And I'll take control of my own career instead of pointing fingers and saying, you're letting me down because this guy says I can take this shortcut. They've taken ownership, gone down to the minor leagues. And since all three of them have returned, Singer's one of the 20 best pitchers in baseball. Bubich is as consistent as he's ever been. And Daniel Lynch, in my opinion, Salvador Perez, after the performance Daniel Lynch gave us on Friday, said he grew up two seasons today. One game, grew up about 2 years. So those three starting pitchers to me, the growth that they've shown this season has all but guaranteed Matheny and Eldred back next year with an extension.
Well, and I also think, and Josh Vernier with us here, our Royals insider here on 610 Sports Radio, I think as much as we want to, you know, give the credit where credit's due at times to coaches, I'm giving the credit to the players for being able to accept what they needed to do and working out. Vern, how many guys have we seen, not just with the Royals, but in baseball in general, that are so good at playing baseball, they get up to the big leagues, they fail, and they're not willing to make those adjustments. These guys were willing to go and make the adjustments. I got to give them a lot of credit, too, because athletes are stubborn, man.
No, you give them a large majority, 95% of the credit. You're 100% right. Just as if, or just like, early in the season, Singer deserved the blame for not grabbing a spot in the rotation. Bubich deserved the blame for being very bad in the month of April. Sure, Lynch has dealt with some injuries. Yeah, the blame and respect and the congratulations, yeah, that all begins with the player. We always scream for accountability, and yet when a player's disappointing, we try to point the fingers at everyone but the player.
Right.
We as a fan and a media base, at times, we don't even hold them accountable. As we point fingers to the front office, to the coaching staff, or to people on the outside.
Do you think they should fire Cal Eldred and hire Roger Clemens to be the pitching coach?
I think you could. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say they need to fire Cal Eldred, but yeah, you want to bring in Roger Clemens. I'm not going to say no to one of the greatest pitchers of all time. I missed what you were talking about earlier. I didn't watch that last night.
Oh, he was tremendous, Vern.
Man, I'm kicking myself.
I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I'm sure ESPN has put it up. I mean, watching Roger Clemens teach last night on national television the art of pitching was so and maybe we're just baseball dorks to like this kind of stuff, but I was like, oh my God, like I'm sitting here and I'm engaged in Roger Clemens teaching the art of pitching. I'm like, this guy needs to be a pitching coach right now at the big league level.
I say consultant.
I gotta go back and find that.
I say consultant.
Don't
do 162. Listen,
yeah, I mean the whole. By the way, Zach Greinke, offer him a Roger Clemens deal next season where you only pitch at home. I'd go for that right now. Roger Clemens to me was the highlight of the Derek Jeter. I don't know how many people watch that Derek Jeter documentary, but the little interviews they did with Roger Clemens, I loved it on the Captain.
I have not sat down and watched it yet. I'm caught up in some other stuff right now, but it's one obviously I'm going to go back and watch and pay attention to. But I mean, some of these former players, man, we just kind of cast aside and they need rehab assignments. I think Roger needs his rehab assignment now, you know.
If Bonds got his, McGuire got his, right? They both were hitting coaches. Yeah, I'm all for it. If the Rocket wants to do it, although I imagine he's living a pretty nice life.
I mean, the man does have a pitching tunnel in his living room.
Yeah, that's why they come to me. I don't go. Yeah. I'm ordering in pitchers. I'm not going out to find them. Vern, thanks again. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
We saw a glimpse of the treatment Deshaun Watson is in for. We'll get to that next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I guess we got our first glimpse of how Deshaun Watson's going to be welcomed by fans. Even Jacksonville fans decided, and they weren't booing their own team, decided to boo Deshaun Watson.
Good.
On Friday, Joel Bitonio of the Browns telling reporters, I think once Deshaun came out of the game, we got booed less. But you go on the road and they'd boo anyway, so it's hard to tell. We'll see how it goes. I'm sure it seems like more than ever, Cleveland against the world.
Oh, God.
So we'll be ready for it. As if, like, that's, like, we rally around this. Everyone's against us. Mm-hmm. No, they're against your one guy.
They're against Deshaun Watson, and they should be. Anybody with a conscience should be against Deshaun Watson. He's a creep.
That, I don't know how to.
Why did he apologize this weekend for something he didn't do?
I don't know that I even call allegedly. It an apology. That crafted ownership of some kind of guilt. I don't know.
I thought he was defiant that he didn't do anything
wrong.
Yeah,
that's that whole thing reeks to me of, well, it's a last ditch ever to try to save my season.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. I mean, they're talking right now. A full season seems like a slam dunk.
There's no criminal case. The civil cases have largely been settled. Mm-hmm. There's no real. I guess I'll try this and see if they reduce my suspension anyway.
No, they should.
Really, all I care about is whether or not I can play.
Right.
I didn't buy any of it.
Nope.
The fact that it was to one reporter.
Mm-hmm.
The timing stunk. And yes, you have been adamant this entire time. You have done nothing wrong.
Right.
Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. And then try to come up with an apology. I don't buy it.
I'm not buying it either. His whatever attempt at an apology was too little, too late. And now all of a sudden, when you're looking at what some people in the media circles are calling a quote unquote slam dunk year long suspension for Deshaun Watson, when you sense that is coming, now all of a sudden you start to feel quote unquote remorseful and give a little culpability out there for something. I'm not buying it. To me, it's too little too late for Deshaun Watson. He deserves every minute of suspension and fine that he is going to get from the NFL. And he deserves every minute of booing and you know, yelling from fans that he's about to receive. And I'll say this right now. I'm not in favor of doing anything wrong on the field from a fan standpoint, like throwing things and doing all that. But if you want to boo Deshaun Watson and really, really let him know that you're not happy with his actions off the field, I think fans have every right to boo Deshaun Watson, and he should get louder boos than anybody's ever been booed before. And for the Cleveland Brown guy to say this is like, you know, Cleveland against the world again,
makes it sound like you've been wrong.
Yeah, it makes it sound
boy,
like
they're
yeah,
out to get us.
They're out to get us. No, your quarterback was a creep, is a creep, and did creepy things that most people other than star athletes would be in jail for a number of years. And Deshaun Watson is getting away with it because he's an athlete and he's a football player and he's got all this money. No, he deserves to be booed. He deserves to be jeered. He deserves to be absolutely just booed every single play by every fan base. This isn't Cleveland against the world. This is people with a good moral compass against a creep. That's exactly what this is. This has nothing to do with Cleveland or anything. If this guy was still playing in Houston, they'd boo him, and they should boo him because of his actions off the field.
Yeah, I was hoping they'd get to a decision before Friday night. They didn't.
No.
But he was terrible, by the way, which is, you know, I wasn't shedding a tear about that.
No.
He was bad.
He stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he stinks off the field.
But to think he's going to sit out for a year and be any good was a little far-fetched too. Like if you're just looking at just the straight football and you're giving me, well, he's just going to pick up where he left off. Mm-hmm. False.
It doesn't happen. It just doesn't. Now, injuries are one thing. When you get injured and you work hard to get back, that's one thing. But when you just take off a year like Le'Veon Bell did, like Deshaun Watson did, odds of you coming back and being good are very slim.
There's no guarantee he's going to be back to his preform.
I hope he never completes another pass in the NFL. And I hope Cleveland still owes him all that money and has to eat it. The NFL is not happy with the Browns. That's another team. Once they're done with the commodes and figuring out what they're going to do with Dan Snyder, it's time to start investigating the Cleveland Browns and maybe finding new ownership and making that dude sell that franchise.
Our countdown continues towards football.
Five days until real football returns, and over the weekend, guys, Chiefs preseason game, George Karlaftis got a sack and then proceeded to do some type of celebration. A, what in the world was that? B, how many sacks do you see Karlaftis getting this season? And C, who in the hell is in charge of helping him with that celebration?
I don't know what that was. You were down there.
Patrick Mahomes had his description of it.
He's going to go hard the entire time. I mean, that's just who he is. That's what's got him here. And I think he'll keep crafting his skills every single week to get better and better. And he's a guy that works extremely hard, so I know he's going to keep getting better and better. The only thing we have to work on is his celebration, because I don't know what that was. He did like a double arm flex down. I've never seen that one. I was like, maybe at least go up with the flex if you're going to do something. So we're going to work on that, and we'll get back to you.
So I don't know who was in charge before, but Patrick Mahomes is taking the reins of the after.
Well, he's a leader. I mean, that's what you want your leaders to do, to be involved in everything, to lead the young guys, whether on offense or defense. That's the true leader of a team. You got to figure out a better sack celebration than that. That was very weak and almost like, I don't know what to do. I didn't expect to be here.
I loved the sack itself, though.
Yeah, it was great.
He's cutting to the inside, runs around, then makes the play on the. I'm like, oh yeah,
it was nice.
He ran to go make that. Yes, more of that, please.
Yeah,
more of that, please. He can work on the celebration. How many does he get this year, though? I don't know. I just don't want to have a number. I just don't want to have a number.
Right.
But we're going to be feeling great if he's like, approaching double figures, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you don't want to put a number on it because...
But he's going to play a lot, so...
I mean, if he gets 8 sacks, that's a good number, I think. I think 8's a good number, right? I'm not going to sit and go 10, 12. No, I think if you get like 8 sacks, that's a good number.
It'd be great, especially what we've seen off of this team the last few years. So
right.
He's going to get a lot of opportunity to play, though, so hopefully he can pile on a good number. But, yeah, I'd hate to put a specific number on it because... Right. Especially with sacks, I mean, I would have high numbers on everybody. Yeah, Chris Jones is going to go out there and get people.
It's Frank
Clark's
going to
go get
people.
Karlofsky is going to go get people. And then you're like, look at the end of the year, and you're like, Like, you'll look at last year's sack numbers, and you're like, boy. Chris Jones had 9, and that was it, right?
Yeah.
4.5 for Frank.
Right. Sacks are hard to come by.
So if he got 8 or 9, he'd be ecstatic, because 8 or 9 last year would have darn near led the team. So...
Do you think Mitch can change his call every time Karlaftis gets a sack? He should say, "By George, he got him."
You're free to submit your catchphrases to Mitch. That's fine.
Or can he say, "That was curious, George"?
Feel free to give him your suggestions. Mitch is a pro. I don't submit anything to Mitch.
Do you think that he could say, remember in Webster when Paul McGuire played Webster's dad and they used to call her ma'am, the mother ma'am, he used to call her ma'am. Do you think when George gets a sack now, he can go, "No, ma'am"?
And feel free to contact Mitch and ask him.
Mm-hmm. Hi, George.
We do know we want him to spice up a Watson touchdown.
Yeah, though. We do. He needs us. Yeah,
I am on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
Watson, yes!
I couldn't believe it was right
Bob texted me, and he said, "Why didn't Mitch say Watson, after Justin Watson caught the touchdown?"
Watson, yes!
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Or just use that.
Hi, George.
And when he gets his first sack in a game, Mitch should say, "George Washington was the first president of the United States, and that's the first sack for George Karlaftis." Too much?
I don't think so. That's a little much.
All right.
Not so much.
George Karlaftis.
Yes. I think the Chiefs can make Patrick Mahomes' dreams come true. What he told me this weekend can and should be accomplished. Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.